love if you'd open your mouth. And at the same time you open your mouth, if you open your heart, you might find out that the psalm is really true. That's the way I show them my salvation. Now, what is the first part of that verse? It's the last verse in Psalm 50. There you go. That's the first part. Whoever offers praise. You know how to do that? You need to learn. It's a mighty weapon. Sing. You can sing your way right through the trial. And the Lord will lift you out of it. And if he doesn't lift you out of it, he'll bring you through it. And he'll manifest his presence to you in it. Just like Paul and Silas in jail. How did they get out of that mess? Well, they prayed, that's for sure. But they also sang. They sang. They sang a church into existence. What do you mean? The prisoners heard them. What's that? We usually hear a lot of cursing and we hear a lot of grumbling and a lot of moaning and complaining. What's this I hear? I hear something coming from cell 16. Who's that? Who's in 16? Oh, that's those two crazy religious guys, the fanatics. They're here because they preach. They throw them in here. Well, what are they singing? I don't know. It sounds like Handel's song, the Hallelujah Chorus. It is. It's Hallelujah. That's something. And they listen. And then the jails opened up because God sent an earthquake. I think it's in direct correlation to singing your way out of your prisons. And the cells opened up the doors, and all the prisoners were set free, and not one of them ran. Amazing. Why not? Because I think they recognize there's something even better in the prison than there could be outside of here in freedom. I can get free maybe from the jail cell and maybe from the charges that I've been charged with, but there's a freedom that these guys have that I don't know anything about. And they stayed there where Paul and Silas were. And they heard Paul and Silas. And then we read after they dealt with the Philippian jailer, that soon after they were gathering there, a little church in Philippi. I don't know. I bet it was filled the first Sunday with a bunch of ex-cons that wanted to hear more. And the Bible doesn't say that, but I say that. I think so. I think they sang their way right into the birth of a church. There is power, tremendous power, and we need to throw off these things. I've referred to Brother Wannemacher a number of times. Brother Wim, my cousin Eddie, his picture's over there, and Brother Wannemacher's picture's on the back wall, if you don't know what they look like. And Brother Wannemacher, he was feeling a little down one day. Now, you've probably felt that. If you're on staff and been working for 2 weeks, you probably feel that right now. And if you do, Brother Wannemacher had some good advice. Well, he had two times this happened. One time it wasn't Brother Wannemacher, but it was Brother Edwin. And they were on the New York City subway system. Now that right away puts you down. They were in the New York City subway system before there was air conditioning on the New York City. So that's way down. The New York City subway system before air conditioning had its own smell, all in and of itself. And it wasn't a pretty one. But they were on the subway coming back from Manhattan. And it gets crowded at rush hour, and it was rush hour. Every seat was taken, and all the standing room was taken, too. You know, you hang on the straps or the pole, or I used to take the subway to work. I used to like to try to hold my ground. People would come in and push, and I'd just stand there and try. It was like a game we played. And then I didn't want to hold on because I wanted to try to learn surfing and figure if I can do that or not. And if you fall in a crowded subway, you don't fall far. So everything was good. But they were on the subway coming back home, smelly, hot, dripping and perspiring. And they got separated because of the crowds come in and it just happens that way. So Brother Edwin's over here and Brother Wannemacher's over here. And all of a sudden, Brother Edwin hears, "Edwin, praise the Lord." And Brother Edwin said, he put his head down and kind of made believe, I don't know him. I don't know what he's saying. Or who's this man yelling at me? I don't know. My name's not Edwin anyway, by the way. And he just stood there. But Brother Wannemacher would not have it. "Edwin, praise the Lord." Now, I don't know why he told that to Edwin at the time, but maybe what he was saying is, "Edwin, we're in a bad place right now, and we don't feel so good about where we are, and it's not a tremendous, difficult trial. We'll surface eventually, but let's just praise the Lord right now where we are. In everything, give thanks." in the little places, in the big places, in the good places, in the not so good places. And so Brother Edwin said he well, and he knew Brother Wanamaker wouldn't stop. So he looked back towards Brother Wanamaker and he said, "Praise the Lord." And they went back and felt that would be sufficient. And I guess it was. But Brother Wanamaker tells another story about himself. And this was when he was a little bit younger, but he was traveling and he got back to Chicago, I think it was. And what were the streets, Frank? You don't remember? Wabash and Eshkol? Could have been. I've never been there, but he tells that he knows the exact location. He was carrying these suitcases. And it was one of those hot, perspiring days, and he felt that he was a little down. Not necessarily the suitcases, not necessarily the heat, maybe just life. Life ever get you down? What's the song, the old song that we don't sing at camp, but rainy days and Mondays always get me down. I like Monday. Sunday's finished, and it's Monday now. But rainy days and Mondays, I like rainy days too sometimes. If we haven't had it, then I don't have to water. But anyway, rainy days and Mondays always. And here he was, kind of down. Not in sin, not wallowing in the mire, not deep depression, not real bad stuff going on, but just down. He says, I dropped my suitcases on the corner of Wabash and Eshkol or whatever. And he said, this is his words. He said, and I jumped a good one. I jumped a good one. Now you say, well, where's that in the Bible? It's not. It's not. But I gotta get this out of me. I gotta get this off of me. I don't want this. I don't need it and I don't want it. So he jumped a good one. Yeah, we were at a couples retreat. I don't think anybody was there. That's here now, but we were at a couples retreat in Pennsylvania. And I referred to that story in one of the meetings. And we were worshiping the Lord and gone, and the meeting was going on. And all of a sudden, I heard a loud boom. And I looked up, and there was one guy, and he was jumping good ones. But he didn't just jump a good one, he jumped a good 10. And he just kept on. And his hands were raised, and his mouth was wide open, and he was looking to the Lord, and he jumped a good one, and he testified the next meeting, and he said, I jumped my way right out of my problems. I jumped my way right out of the situation I was in. Now, some of you would dare never, ever, in your wildest imagination, could see yourself jumping a good one. And I'm not suggesting that you just do it because now we should jump good ones. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And praise isn't just the way it works. You don't just praise your way out of a situation by saying hallelujah three times. I've been in meetings like that. Let's all say hallelujah three times. So everybody says hallelujah three times. All right, that didn't do anybody any good. But it comes from inside here. He puts a song into my heart. He puts a song into my mouth, even praise unto our God. And that's the experience, at least in Psalm 40, Asaph writing it, of every child of God. He takes me out of the miry clay, he puts me on a rock, and he puts a new song in my mouth. Some people think you get one, two, but never three. And it doesn't work that way. It just plain, flat out doesn't smack with biblical truth. If he takes me out of the miry clay, then if he puts my feet upon a rock, what can I do? What response can I make? I will praise him with all my heart, with all my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. Jump a good one. Praise the Lord. He forgave me all my sin. He heals all my diseases. He crowns my life with loving kindness, tender mercies, satisfies my mouth with good things, renews my youth like the eagle. And it goes on and on there in the psalm, and David is expressing why it is that he blesses the Lord, why it is that he praises the Lord. I've never been to Korea, to that big church, Cho's church in Korea. But some of you know John Comar, and he was there. And there's this place called Prayer Mountain. And you can take a bus up to the mountain, and it's open. I don't know what it is today, but it was open all day, all night, every day, every night, and filled with people all day, all night. And it was just people that were there to pray and to seek God and to look to Him. And John said that you can come near that place, and as you're going and ascending to Prayer Mountain, you can hear the people of God calling on God. You can hear them praising the Lord. You can hear them lifting up their voices, because he said to me, they take very literally that Bible verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything that I have, my voice, my heart, my life, everything, all within me, bless your holy name." And so as they prayed, they all prayed. They all looked to God. As they rejoiced and praised the Lord, they all praised the Lord, and they all rejoiced. And he said it was really a phenomenal experience to just come up to that and hear the people of God. Hear the people of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Oh, thank God. And I pray that God will teach us this lesson. We may never get to Asa this morning, but that's okay. We might get to him tonight. But I'm thankful that God is able to enable us, to help us, to teach us to praise and to sing and to rejoice, to worship, to glorify, to honor him. As Sister Diane was saying before, you know, I thought God often, or several times that I can think of, leads his, could I say, choice vessels into these dark, difficult trials. There's so many of them. Spurgeon is one who fought with depression, bouts of depression. You would never think Charles Spurgeon would do that. I don't know. I can't answer all the reasons as to why, and he didn't have any specific reason, I don't think. But a lot of you, I mentioned his name a few days ago or a week ago, and some of you knew him, a man named Lou Giglio. I think some of you, you all have heard, maybe you've heard of Louis Giglio. If you're ever around in Ozone Park, you've heard of Louis Giglio, because we use some of what he has for men's meetings and breakfasts and so on. But he tells and shares his own experience. I actually have the DVD with me. And I didn't show it, and I won't, because it's packed up and it's ready to go home already. But it's the story of how he says, after he'd ministered, and he has these big conferences and passion conferences, and he said, I went through, in his own experience, a real period of real deep depression. He said that he went to see the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find anything wrong. They did all kinds of blood tests and blood work. He just almost was overwhelmed and paralyzed with fear. And he never met Brother Wannenmacher. So he didn't know to jump a good one. He didn't know, he didn't do it. Now, he sings a lot and he preaches a lot and he sings good and he preaches well. But he felt this come over him. And he said it rendered him useless. Useless. He couldn't minister. He canceled this and that and the other thing. This is not at the beginning of his ministry. This was well into his ministry. He was just paralyzed by dark nights. Wake up in a cold sweat and then couldn't go back to sleep at night. And losing sleep takes its toll night after night. And he was a wreck in every way, shape, and form. And he prayed and he asked others for prayer and didn't know what to do. And then his friend Chris Tomlin, he said, "Chris, write a song, write something." And Chris Tomlin said he felt the Lord gave him this song. I don't even remember it now. Maybe if somebody knows it or remembers it, you can let me know. If you started it, I could probably sing it because I've heard it so many times. But the Lord gave him a song, and he gave it to Lou Giglio. And it was a song that had something to do about singing, about rejoicing, about praising God, about glorifying God. And so Lou Giglio said he began to take that song as if it were given to him from the Lord, as if God was speaking to him through a song that was given to somebody from God, like an Ahasuerus, like one of those that we've read about in the story of Asa. And so that night came, and it wasn't better. It was just the same. And he woke up, and it was a mess. He was a mess. But he said he began to sing. He began to sing. It was like singing to the ceiling. It wasn't going anywhere. He didn't feel anything. He felt absolutely nothing. He sang and he sang and he sang the song that was given to him. And then he accompanied the song that was given to him with other songs, just coming out of his own heart to the Lord. But it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't going anywhere. And he said the next night, same thing. But he sang. He sang. And the next night, he said the same thing. But I kept on. I sang. I sang. I sang the song Chris wrote. I sang the song that the psalmist teaches me to sing. I sang a song out of my heart, even praise unto my God. I just sang. And he said it wasn't any better. But I persisted in that. I kept on singing. I didn't stop singing. And it was one night after another. Night, darkness, night, darkness, night, darkness. But then he said all of a sudden, day, light began to shine. Light began to shine. The next day, darkness, darkness. It was light, darkness, 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 light, darkness, light, darkness, darkness, light, light, light. Darkness, darkness, light, 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 light. Until now, I think he's still shining like a light bulb. You can sing your way, and it's persistence. You know, if you're drilling for oil, you don't hit it the first time, you put down that, but you got to keep out. And if you drill deep enough, all of a sudden, is a gush, is a geyser of oil. Remember oil? We talked about it, not the Beverly Hills kind of oil, black gold Texas tea. But we're talking about that anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about Christ coming. And if you drill deep enough, all of a sudden you might find a geyser. But at least in these people's experiences, it came out of a song. It came out of a rejoicing. It came out of, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whether you feel like it or not, this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. We had an old man in our church years and years ago. Nobody here would know him. Bernard Heitman is his name. He, as far as I know, I don't know if he had a relative that he knew anymore. He was all by himself. He was rather a strange kind of guy, not in the bad sense, but just eccentric. And it was probably because of his upbringing, of his life, orphaned, very, very young, fend for himself. He collected cans and bottles, delivered flyers and notes to different homes from door to door, very meager amount of money that he could earn doing that, but he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord with all his heart, and he would sometimes testify in church, and he was always there, very faithful. No place else to go, nothing else to do, no friends. And Bernard, he one time got up in the meeting, and he testified, and then he sat down, and the meeting went on, and then all of a sudden, it was rather quiet. There was some praise or worship, and rather quiet, though. But all of a sudden, I heard something. It was like an eruption. And he was just saying, glory, glory. But it began to well up in him. Glory, 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 glory. And he just began to yell, glory. Now, obviously and evidently, the glory of God was somewhere around where he was. And he sensed the glory of God and let the temple be filled with the glory. And he was just opening up his heart and his soul. And of course, others would respond to that. Others saw what was going on in Bernard. And then he came out with a classic statement. I mentioned it a number of years ago. And I noticed, or I was told, that the waitresses put it on the coffee pot. And it's not appropriate for the coffee pot. It's appropriate for your soul. It said this. He just yelled, better to bubble all over the joint than never to bubble at all. Well, not good for your coffee pot. Don't want that bubbling all over the joint. But, you know, again, where's the Bible? What are we going to do with that? But it was just classic to me. And I thought, yeah. Yeah, better to bubble all over the joint than never to bubble at all. Because a lot of people that never bubble, they're like soda that's gone flat. I read to reintroduce the bubbles into the soda, drop a raisin in there. You guys can figure it out. I have no idea what that has to do with anything. But it's one of those life facts that maybe will help you through the day sometime. But maybe you need a bubble. Maybe you need just a few bubbles. And maybe if you begin to bubble, maybe you'll find you'll be bubbling all over the joint. Well, it's better that way than never to bubble at all. It's better to praise the Lord a little bit than not to praise the Lord at all. It's better to praise the Lord with all that is within you than to just bubble a little bit. But thank God, He teaches and He helps us. And you can sing your way, as we heard already this morning. You can sing your way right out of your trials, right out of your difficulties. Uncle Hans said it's a shortcut into the presence, into the glory of God. Praise is a shortcut. I like shortcuts. And this one is a good shortcut. You cut through the woods. When we used to go from the village back to Nonantum, I guess they still do. We never took the road all the way around. I mean, that'd be way too far. You cut through the woods, the shortcut. Well, the shortcut, maybe for you and for me, is to just to praise the Lord. And you got to practice. You got to learn. You got to be taught. And it might be night. But you might find a day slipping in there every once in a while. And it might go back to a bad time. But keep on. Don't give up. And it's God's way. It's not Ridgewood Fellowship way. It's God's way. And as He does these things that the Bible teaches us He wants to do for us. Oh Lord, let that praise of God, the high sounding praise of God, be put into our mouth. Oh Lord, take away the garment of heaviness, that spirit that weighs us down, and jump a good one. And exchange that heaviness for this garment of praise. You read about taking off and putting on, the staff did from Colossians. Now, it doesn't talk about it there. That talks about it in the prophecies in Isaiah. But there's a lot of stuff we got to get rid of. We got to put off. And we got to keep putting it off. We got to make sure we never put it back on again. And so I want to learn my lesson better. I want to learn to just praise the Lord. And in everything to give thanks, because it's God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Lord, we're not interested in just making noise and just saying something over and over again and saying it louder and louder and kind of trying to manufacture praise. But Lord, it has to begin inside. All that is within me, bless your holy name. But Lord, you've put a song into our mouth, even praise unto our God. And Lord, they thank you that we can sing it. As Brother Hunt said, when I got the baptism, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was as if the Lord put a bell inside of my soul. And he could ring it whenever he wants to. And with Uncle Hans, it rang a lot. It rang an awful lot. Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will put a bell inside of us. We'll put a heart of praise and rejoicing. Because, Lord, we need it. We need it all the time. That's why it says, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Lord, because we continually need, we go through this veil of tears, we go through the valleys, we go through the hard places, but we thank you, Lord, that we can praise you. We can praise you. Put that into our mouth, oh God. There are those here this morning, I'm sure, maybe they're going through trials and valleys and difficulties and problems, and we know these things. We really do know these things, but your word says, happy are ye if you do them. Lord, we don't want to be like the fellows that build their houses on sand. If you hear these sayings of mine and you keep them, oh, you're like people that are building on a rock. And Lord, we want to build well. We want to build on that foundation. We want to put up our house slat by slat, brick by brick, every day, Lord. We want to build. And Lord, part of the things that we need to learn are always to rejoice, always to give thanks. This is your will, so teach me. Teach me, Lord, teach me. I don't know how to wield this weapon of praise as well as I should. Lord, there are times of praise where people praise the Lord and were healed physically. Lord, answers to the petitions were granted as they praised the Lord. Yea, even churches were born.